हरि ओम सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Bhakti Sandarbha, Adhyayana 1, Adhikarana 1, Description of the Bhakti Yoga Process, Anucheda 15, page 37. Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all association. Yes, so we have this thing here, positive scientific knowledge. So Prabhupada mentions scientific knowledge means when you've taken the theory and practically applied it according to the art. When you have that combination, that's called science. Right? If you just have the theory, that's called theory. Right? It's theoretical. If you know application, that's called art. But you don't know the theory, and the person with the theory doesn't actually know the art. But when you can combine the two, so based on the theory, you can apply the art and get the practical results. That's science. Right? So that's why Prabhupada always emphasizes on science, because that's the vigyan, that's the actual, you know, able to apply it. Jnana is knowledge, vigyana means application. So we're interested in vigyan, not just jnana. And positive means it's positive because it's spiritual. It actually is in connection with the soul, takes them to the spiritual platform. Right. Negative means the material association. Yes?
Continuation of yesterday's discussion, can we say that it will be okay to start from the art part and come to the science, or naturally would be start from theory and come to the science? Because apparently some people do from this side or the other.
Yes, well, there'll be that tendency to start from one or the other, as we discussed yesterday.
Right.
Is that, and one is you have, in general, the where it would specifically come from is that feminine nature, because the mind is the central feature, right? For the masculine, it's the intelligence. That's why if men are being intelligent, there's zero emotion. And therefore it means the opportunities for, you know, personal interaction and that aren't there. You know, but let's say a group of men, they're all focused on that intellectual application, so that's their, where they're feeling that camaraderie and stuff like that. Well, for the feminine nature, the mind is the center, because it has to be based on the emotion. So in other words, the relationship is based on the emotional experience, while for the masculine it's based on the applicational experience. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You like that? Because if you're looking at existence, men exist, then it's a matter of, you know, how you say, getting them to move, you know? Well, women are all moving like this, but there's no stability. So the two go together. Where's the point of contact? That's at application. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So your goal is the art. So you have to know what you're trying to do, but unless you know the theory, you cannot apply properly. Because even if you say, okay, we'll do the art, but does the art stay? Because you see, art is constantly changing. It means, does you know, 1 + 1 = 2, does that change? No, but you see art over the millennia have changed. It's always changing, but the existential that doesn't. It always remains. So that's the thing, is the feminine is constantly changing. So on the spiritual platform, on the positive platform, that creates variety. So Krishna is existence. And so then, by the interaction with the devotees, that creates the variety. So the taste is of the variety. So the means you'll have a taste. The existential taste is there, or the application of you know the mechanical laws has a taste, but the real taste is in the is in the mood of the experience. No, excuse me, not experiential, existential is the first one. So the experiential is actually what one's trying to get to, because you're looking at what was the experience of it. Because when you do anything, there'll always be an experience. Right? It's just at what level it is. You know, it's just like Krishna's there, you can see him in three features, as Brahman, as Paramatma, as Bhagavan. So Bhagavan means where he's manifesting all the energies and all the pastimes and all that. So that combination is there. That's where the science is the actual platform. You know what I'm saying? If you only have the theory, that's not complete. If you only have the art, it's not complete. But when you have the science, that's complete. It's sustainable. Hmm. Like that. Because even if you don't know it, the art is based on the theory.
Yeah.
Art does not function outside the laws of nature. It's not because I feel that that's enough to make it work. You have to follow the laws. So if you know them, it just makes it so much easier. You know, why just start on feeling and hit and miss? You can do that, you know, it's like modern, you know, medicine and stuff like that. They go in the laboratory and they have this bug there and they throw 2,000 different, you know, things at it and combinations, and when it reacts to one of them, then you go, oh, okay, you know. And so then they take it from there. You know, he's there and he spills his drink on it, you know, it reacts. So is that because it's a cola? Is that because of the sugar? Is that because of the caffeine? Is that because of this? You know, and then you find out it's actually the artificial colors like that. You know? So then, you know, it likes the sugar, you know. That. So it's, that's just art. They're saying it's science, but they have no idea what they're doing. They just know that you throw things at things, people, things get upset. Just like if you take a person and start throwing things at them, a chair, a table, you know, an old banana, you know, a shoe, that they don't like it. So if I want to get rid of this bacteria, I have to throw something at it doesn't like. So it's based on some theory. And then after a while, they document it, and then they start to see patterns, and then slowly, slowly, they become aware of the theory. And they call themselves the scientific process, when they're not. It's just art through the medium of intelligence without emotion, that's all. And somehow or another, that makes them superior, because they don't notice other living entities, you know, in existence. That makes them superior. Then if you go by that, then that means, you know, how you say, a rock is the most superior. You know, and of rocks, and you know, let's say, you know, Mount Everest. You know, because how many people have gone and died, and Mount Everest does not care at all. So, I mean, that's the greatest scientist. You know what I'm saying? So it's based on that. One has to know that. Otherwise, then the problem is that the mind doesn't have something to connect to. You know, the intelligence, something stable. It is not comfortable. You know, so therefore, it's like ourselves as living entities. Until we connect with Krishna, who's the actual male, then we, as the female, we can't be happy. Because he's stable. Everything else is not. Is that so?
Yeah.
So one may start from the art and then start to see the theory and then slowly put it together, and then you have the science. It is, but it's not as efficient as hearing from authority the theory, then also hearing ideally from authority what's the application. you know, means what's the art, and then putting them together, applying. So the Vedic will prefer going for the other, because if you base that all my feelings and action are based on intelligence, your life will go smoother than if it's based on simply emotions. So that's why in the Vedas, when in Vedic education, unless you're an artist, of course, but even then, is that you start from the theory. You start from the knowledge. You have to learn that. Then you take it into the art. Because if, let's say, like, you have, you know, it's like kids. They learn the letters, they learn the numbers, they learn the things like that. And so it gives them a foundation, and then they develop from there. Right, you show them what's going on, and then how you're applying it. Which is just basic thing. It doesn't have to be elaborate. Right? Does that make sense? You just look at basic. Okay, here's addition. I'm taking two things, putting them together. Here's one. If I put them together, now there's two. And then they can see that. Oh, okay. So that's addition. So subtraction is just I have, you know, these two. I take them apart. That's all. Or if I have three there, and I take one away. It's just a negative of addition. It's not something new. And multiplication means I just do it in groups. That's all. It's just addition in groups. Division is subtraction in groups. From that, then any kid can understand what is math. Because it's always going to be based on, then you combine that. Algebra is combining that, doing two or three of those together in one equation. They're separate arithmetic equations, but because I have a way to write them together, I figured out I want to do, okay, these three different arithmetic equations. I will put them together as one equation and do them one after another, which pattern I should do in that. It's called algebra. Because I figured out to put it together, now I'm such a big brain and I'm so much better than anybody who knows arithmetic. When all they do is just make it that people that don't have a real good math brain, they've just ruined their life on being able to use arithmetic. You know, and they're not sent to jail. You know what I'm saying? So it's just all they have to do is explain that. But they don't want to explain that because they want to feel superior. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is that the science can be given, the understanding of what's going on, the laws can be given even to a little kid, but they won't do it because I'm superior. I know that I started from art and then made it to this, you know, by an inductive, and therefore we'll only give what I've learned now to somebody in postgraduate, when you could give the exact same thing to the kindergarten kids, start there, and by the time they get to, you know, third grade, it'll mean something to them. What is, oh, that's cow. Oh, okay.
Gopastami.
Okay. Somehow or another it looked like one of the, I forget what it was, but from World War II, you know, they had the signs on their airplanes of which country it was.
Yeah.
Just the way it looked like one of those. And so, then I saw a leg and I thought, no, that's not RAF. You know, that's a cow. Okay. So, then you have the aspect that so therefore due to pride they think no, we'll only teach that there because they can't know. They can't know. When it is they're the ones that know. You know, you learn by the same, why put them through the same thing? The rich man doesn't mean, you do have them, I've seen them, and it's really annoying, they end up with weird children, is that the father works hard, makes money, and then tells the kid he's got to make his own money. I made this money, you make yours. He won't start him there, say, okay, I came up to this point, I start you there, now you, in using your intelligence, and make it more. You know, in other words, parents that don't want their children to be better than them, which I've seen quite a lot of, then it's really sad. So they've told me like that. You know, I pulled my kid out of the school. I can't tolerate that my kid knows more than me. You know, ABCs, 1, 2, 3, 4, yeah, that's common. But when they come home and tell you stuff about how you're cooking and this and that and how to improve that, they can't tolerate it. Literally, they come and take the kid out of school. They've told me. Yes.
It's interesting experience we've been just the summer in Israel, the whole family. And, you know, me and Tamal, we always hang out together. So one devotee is real smart. He asked me, you know, how do you feel with Tamal? Because he's, I mean, he just boldly said, he's so much better than you. I mean, in all respects, younger, more fit, smarter, I can do, you know, so many things.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, yeah, I feel great. And then he said, really? You know, the guy is like a Jewish kid. And then I said, yeah, I feel it's continuation of me. So his success is my success. So my identity, you know, is like that. So he was like really impressed. He said, wow, this is really good.
Yeah, because it's just going to find that after you insulted me.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's natural, is that the parent wants to see the child do better than them. So, here it is that, you know, in one example, that first one I gave, the parent wants to see the child better than them, but to start off in the same place that I did. Otherwise, if they started off where I did and they become better, are they really better? You know, I'm better because I started from here, you know. And, you know, it's sad, the false ego of the living entity. So, because of that, you see also in the modern education, the actual reason why things work, they don't tell you. Now and again, a teacher lets something slip.
Maybe they don't know.
No, mostly they don't know, but now and again they'll say something. They may know one thing, but only at postgraduate in the modern academy do they actually start telling you what's going on. Before that, it's just, these are the facts, you learn those, and we can deal with those, then you're a useful tool. But once you get above that, then we can teach you why it works. But then they don't know either, so, you know, how much they teach you is very minimal. So this whole thing of positive scientific knowledge is a very important thing. You know, see, how much is in that? That's the thing, is Prabhupada takes these things, positive scientific knowledge. Someone who knows nothing can use it. Someone who knows more can get it. And someone who understands the technical point that's being made and what would be the Sanskrit behind it. How it's talking about Vigyan, and that is talking about positive means Anandamaya, because Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, you know, the first four levels of consciousness are going to be material association, which you're giving up. So all that's technically within that. So positive here, it's going for finally prema. Finally prema develops. Joyful means it's based off the living entity. Right? Means their ananda aspect. Satisfaction means is that off of their existence. The sad aspect. You know, so then, you know, like that. Detachment means you've accepted the one, the joyful, the positive, you've given up the negative. All that's in here. So Prabhupada's so expert at how he says something, that any level can appreciate this. You bring in someone on the five stages of Bhava, they'll still be able to read this translation and it'll mean something to them.
So in the context of logic, Prabhupada will constantly find this common ground.
Yes.
All the time.
Yes. So it means he was expert at this drishtanta. Yeah. That he could get the point across to you wherever you are and use it in such a way that it was broad enough that actually everybody could get benefit, even if it's not really your area. You know, because if you speak things in a very specific way that it identifies something exactly, but at the same time it's general in that it doesn't, it's not catering to a particular mentality, particular mundane mentality, you know, perspective. It goes above the modes of nature. So you're saying the facts, but you're saying them above the modes, so it doesn't carry the emotional content. Therefore, that's universal. And so you see, so you may not be used to, but you'll catch something. You'll catch something. Like that. And then slowly, slowly, by catching that something, it will progress. So it's a very, very advanced stage. Very advanced. Because for the Acharyas, they're speaking gently. You see, up to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they're talking to people who know the Vedic culture, know the Vedic terminology, know that. They've been trained in that. And so then they speak. You know, means it can be applied to others, but because you don't, you know, the Vedic literature is not a do-it-yourself book. You know, it may be for dummies, but it's not for doing it yourself, right? And so from Guru, he'll do that adjustment if need be. But Prabhupada, how he writes, he's already written it, so it's adjust for anybody, and not even just anybody, anybody for the next 10,000 years. That's empowerment. That's the founder of Acharya. These other aspects of founder Acharya are supportive of that. That he's created an institution of which that could be carried on in a systematic way. But that's not the glory. The glory, because that's a Bapu aspect. This is the Bani aspect. It's the glory of what Prabhupada could say and do. And so all that is there. You know, a material association means anything you value. Because it's not that you're there in the material world, because that's not material association. You see it in connection with Krishna. It's Krishna's energy. It's Brahman. But it's by associating and thinking. Material association means I can enjoy this. That's material association. I can control and enjoy this. You know? Does that make sense? And generally, if you say control and enjoy, we generally look at it in a positive light. If you look at it as envy and attachment, then that's the negative of it. You know? So we appreciate what is given here. And so therefore, in unalloyed goodness, you can function like this. Therefore, Prabhupada is writing these platforms from the platform of unalloyed goodness. That's why then when he puts it into a logical presentation, you know, into a Nyaya Prashna, then it becomes so it makes so much sense. Right? But he's going beyond the scholarly, beyond the emotional, beyond the attached, beyond the biased, beyond the, you know, any platform, you know, political, what do you call it, social, economic, you know, any of these things. He's going beyond that. And so therefore when he presents, it has the universal appeal. And anything else doesn't. So that's why if you don't see the, you have to see the Acharya's works through this perspective. Otherwise you will not understand them. And I'm not excluding any single living entity. Not one. Because any time you see they don't see it that way, they say there's a contradiction. And we all know that many senior scholarly persons in the movement have said there's a contradiction. But you see, Prabhupada is a seeming contradiction. It seems like, but it's not. But they're saying it is a contradiction, and here, and they try to logically prove how it is. Because they're bewildered, they don't know, therefore if they don't know, then others know, that looks stupid. But they don't know, because I had once, I had a professor in the room. I was explaining something, and going into technical points, but you explain it in, you know, a way, how the mechanics of what is work, and like this, and everybody in the room understood. And this is, you know, just a general devotees, including, you know, just girls that, you know, aren't really well educated, just common guys, you know, and another mix of devotees. And I made the point. This professor said, this doesn't make sense. I asked, does anybody else understand this? Everybody said yes. I didn't push it from there. I didn't want to make the person feel uncomfortable. But they chased after me for that for a long time. No, I looked at there, it's not there, it's this, that. Because they had such pride that because they were a professor, they knew everything. That a common man could not hear. No common man can know what they know. It just means all it is they have an unlimited amount of data and they think that that's superior. So, therefore, the thing is as we saw before, if something you confuse somebody, then you think that they are smarter than you. So if you go up there and talk for an hour during one of those, you know, what do you call it? You know, at the university where you have those, I don't know if they're not seminars, but they have lectures or something, you know, where they have the hall with 300 seats and all that.
Symposium.
Yeah, like that kind of, those big things that they have. And no one understands what you're talking about. They'll think, wow, this guy's the best. And when you look at his paper, you can't find any faults because you can't understand it. Psh, Nobel Prize. I mean, like, you know, it's a shoo-in. Isn't that how you said shoo-in? Yeah, okay. It's like, that was an old one, but I don't remember why it's a shoo-in. But.
It's like all those deals. You know, when you buy a flat or you sign a contract, it's the same language. You don't understand
it. Yes, yes, exactly. The fine print and all this. So they say the same thing over and over again from 10 different angles. And then, you know, all they say is that you use this product at your own responsibility and we take zero responsibility. Anything goes wrong, it's your problem, not ours. That's all they have to do is say at the very beginning. Don't steal our stuff, and we're not liable for anything. And we can't take anything that you use and sell it to anybody else for our benefit, and you can't complain. I think those three sentences, that sums it up, right? If you read the whole thing, you ever done it? You know, see, when it comes up, you want to do the... upgrade your phone on something, and they give you that. Oh, you have to accept. You go into that. Takes you, you know, it's half an hour read. You read it. That's all they say. They say those three things. They just say it in 20 different ways. How they're going to sell it to who, and who they can sell it to. You know, third party directly, third party indirectly, people who use the thing, and this. They just, that's all they do. They just say, we're not responsible for anything. You can't claim anything of this as yours, and. We can sell anything we want to anybody and you can't complain.
And even if you want to complain, it's only at this place, in this jurisdiction.
Yes.
You can never go.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It happens to be like, a, you know, how you say, an office in Panama, you know, that only opens, you know, every...
From 6 to 7 a.m.
Yeah, 6 to 7 a.m.
Sometimes.
On Sundays, you know, every leap year when there's a blue moon. You know, after the second coming.
We sometimes open.
Yeah. Yes. So that's all you have to say, and then people go, "Oh, okay." You know that because that's what it means. If you want to use it, you have to agree. It's not going to matter. I don't agree. Then they say, if you don't agree, don't use it. Just push the disagree. And bring your phone back and sell it to us and hurry about. You know, yes.
I had to go for surgery like 2 years ago in the hospital, so you have to fill up forms there. So I was filling up the forms and because this is my condition nature, I usually read.
Yes, yes. That's the bad part of knowing law. You always read.
So when the lady there, she noticed that I'm reading through. Yeah. Because obviously this doesn't happen.
Yes,
she just told me, you don't really need to do that. Because this will probably not happen on the last page.
It may not happen that, you know, you came in for a heart replacement and we actually, you know, put in a, you know, a pig's liver, you know, like that.
And then there was another guy filling up. And I just saw that he's just signing up, and I thought, and I asked him, have you actually read what's written here?
No. Yes.
It was written some PTC stuff.
Yeah, no, it's really serious stuff. Yeah. It's like, I mean, they can do anything, and they're not reliable for anything. It's yours. You came into their place, and if they, you know, they cut your hide off, and you end up, and you find it's on your elbow, that's your problem.
Number three reason for that. Reason number three for that is medical care.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Medical care. Yeah. 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 I mean, traditionally they used to call it, what was it? Malpractice, I think.
Yeah. Like that. That's medical care.
But now it's trying to get out of that, you know. As long as it happened to, you know, if you're in the West, happened to the Indians and this and that, it's okay. But if it happens to a honky, no. Well, we got to put it in the cloths, you know. Like that. Yeah, so.
I have a godbrother that came up in the academic field, so he's a professor, and so he'd give class. And afterwards, he would ask some devotees, do you understand the class? And if they said yes, he said, oh, that wasn't good then. In other words, if he didn't confuse you, if he didn't say something that you just didn't get, he didn't consider it to be a good class.
Yeah, that's part of it. Because he said something new, a different angle than that. It doesn't mean it makes sense. That's so far.
That's a weird people.
It's a weird people.
Yeah, no, it is. But the problem is that it appears from what Prabhupada's saying and others are saying, and if you look at the great intellectuals that make Greece, it seems to be a majority of the people. These I was shocked with this myself, I mean, these may have been like 20 years ago or maybe, I think in the 90s. What I thought was standard way of how people thought, I found out it's not,
Because you think that people would actually want to others to understand what they're saying.
If they did, you wouldn't have those contracts because no one would have accepted. If everybody read it, then no one accepted and then they couldn't do the business, so... That's the problem when you get when the bourgeois aspect comes in, then the whole thing's about profit, and you just and to get your profit requires ignorance.
Yeah.
Because business means half truth, half lie. That's the Vedic definition of business. Because they can't tell you the whole truth, otherwise you wouldn't buy it. But they can't not tell you some truth. So they tell you what parts they want you to know and avoid the parts they don't want you to know. So ignorance is their bliss, not yours. Yes, yes. 100% silk.
Wrapped
around a cotton core. Sounds good, doesn't it? But it just means that it's 50% silk.
But now it's Italian silk. It's 100% synthetic.
It's called
Italian silk.
They used to call it art silk.
The art silk. Oh, okay. Which is...
Just 100% synthetic.
Oh, synthetic. Because art silk is jute.
It's rare.
No,
art silk is jute. Oh. Art silk is natural.
Okay.
Art silk is jute. What do they call that in the West? I don't know what they call it. It's not hemp. I can't remember what it is. But it's a particular thing because it hangs a little bit like... silk.
Right.
That's why they call it art silk, because it means you can tell, but it looks nice. It hangs well, it drapes well, it very good drape. So that's the whole thing. But then here, so art silk is jute. Italian silk means it's synthetic.
100%.
But they've done it in such a way that it'll hang.
Yeah.
It has a good drape.
Yeah. Very easy.
Yeah. But does it stick on itself or it slides?
Slides usually, but it also electrifies very much.
Oh,
synthetic.
Yeah. Well, that means, hey, that's the thing about it. Could you take it and pull it off in one smooth thing so it gets the full stack electricity, and then whip it out at somebody so when it touches them, then that would be good.
That would be mastery.
Yes,
that is probably more.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, anyone can go. Okay. So back to, it's amazing, right? How we start with this positive scientific and then we end up in a material dissociation. But by hearing Bhagavatam, yes.
I just wanted to share this, what you said about people not wanting you to know. I've seen this also among devotees sometimes especially when they deal with these technical terms, like I saw it once with Vibhava, Anubhava, Satyakubhava, Vyavichayubhava. People make it sound so complicated, they don't even want you to somehow, that's why I feel like that. It's a relatively simple thing to explain, but they would not explain it, they would just throw the words.
I would even take it a step further. I would say probably 99.99%, and I'm just stopping at 2 because it's like 3.1415, you don't have to give the other 2 kilometers of numbers, is that they don't know themselves. They know the terms, you don't know the terms. They've learned some things, but the problem is for them is contradictory, they can't figure it out. But if they talk that and you don't know, then they feel they knew something you didn't know. So that's the thing when he says, if you understood, that means he spoke things he understood. But if you didn't understand, it means he spoke things he didn't understand. They're new to him. And so he knows the terminology of this new field, but doesn't actually know what it means or how to use it. You don't even know the terminology. So therefore, then it's a superior class. It's material. It's normal. And the basic line is, Prabhupada says, is if you're in the material world, you're a demon. Demon means not connected to Krishna. That's the demonic element. Now, of those who are trying to, then we'll call them suras. Okay. Even though you see, like Indra, you know, it comes down to he's fighting with Krishna because he doesn't know, or he's fighting with Vritasura because he doesn't know.
Couple of times.
Yeah, so he regularly makes some these things, but bottom line, if you wake him up, he wants to know Krishna and serve Krishna. Because you see quite a few conversations in the Vedic literatures, in the Puranic literatures, and others. Indra is one of the ones that's part of the conversation.
Including Lakshmi Tantra.
Yeah, Lakshmi Tantra, and there's another one. That came to mind, the second one came to mind, but there's other, that he is involved like that. And so then it means he's a smart cookie. You know? It means if you're managing the universe, you know, you have to be smart. You have to be good. You know, because we don't see that it's falling. It means not from a, you can say, oh, but it's falling apart, the weather, but that's only because of us. Because we saw when we do nothing, just sit in our houses, the weather went back to normal. You know, within 3 months, it was back to normal, like, you know, 20 years or 40 years before. But then we come out of the house, and again, you know, then they're talking about global warming and everything's falling apart and that, but they don't make the connection. So the point is that mistakes are made. That's going to be because we're jivas, you know, that are conditioned. If we're jivas that are on the liberated platform, we won't make any. We don't know everything, but we know everything to a minute degree. We don't know everything because qualitatively we're the same as Krishna, but not quantitatively. You know, and if you could say, oh no, but he has these 10 qualities we don't have, but they're not necessary for us to interact with him. You know what I'm saying? When you say, oh, the two are so well matched, you know, they're such great friends, or they're such great this, or that, you know, whatever it is, but it's on the ones that work together. You know, like that? Like in a movie, they say, oh, great chemistry. Are they talking about that they can, you know, do tricks on a motorcycle and flip in the air and, you know, do all that? And they're talking about in acting in that field, in that kind of drama. They can do that. That's where it's important. Then you say they're perfectly matched. Right? You know, it's not about something else. It's about the common area. So the common area of rasa, of interacting, is those 50 qualities. It's not the other 10. Those aren't the basis of our interaction. So therefore we're the same as Krishna, but we're minute. 1/10,000 tip of the hair. Krishna is unlimited. But we don't need to know unlimited because Krishna's standing there and you're interacting there in that particular, you know, the cowherd boys are in that particular forest beneath those particular trees next to this particular part of the Jamuna with these particular cows at that time. That's all that's necessary. You don't have to know what the cow, you know, 1 kilometer in the front was doing and how many strands of grass it had in its mouth and how quickly it chewed it, and did it chew it from the middle or from the side. You know, it doesn't matter. What matters is the devotee and Krishna were interacting at that place, at that time, in that interaction. That's what matters. So in that way, then there's the non-difference, but difference, because he's unlimited. Because he's dealing with all the devotees. We know that part of the pastime we're involved in. We don't know all of them. Like the coward boys, they're sitting in front of Krishna. It's, you know, and eating their lunch, and Krishna's interacting with each one of them. But we see in the description, there's, I think, 8 rings around Krishna. There's Krishna and then 8 rings. And what does that have to do with the Vahanas?
Avarnas.
Because Avarnas also, I think it's 8 rings, isn't it?
What's Avarnas? Yes.
Avarnas?
The Avarnas that surround the central feature of Krishna. It comes in Bhagavad Bhagavatam. The first one is the Chaturvyuha, then the second one goes to all the 24, and the third one.
You're saying about yoga people?
Yes, you have the yoga pit, and then it goes out from that. So every yantra is based on that. It's just which element they're bringing out. And it always starts with the center, because the center always is that six-sided triangle. You know? That is where you start. Six-sided triangle or six-sided... It's not a square. Star. Yeah. Okay, star. Okay.
Still triangle.
It's still triangle. Two triangles. Okay. Six-sided star. Huh? Star triangle. A six-sided star triangle. Or triangular star. True triangular six-pointed. Six-sided.
Hexagonal.
It would be six-pointed and have 12 sides.
It's a hexagonal structure.
Well, you do have. You have the six in the middle, and then you have the outside.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And you actually end up with 18. 18 is 1, 18 is 1. 8 and 1 is 9, so 9 then doesn't count in the number. So it leaves 6. We have our ways to get around them. Yeah, so it always starts in the middle. So therefore, it says that they're all sitting in circles around him. That means, technically, if you look at it, there's half the boys are actually sitting, you know, behind him. And half in front. And directly in front, you know, you have maybe a 30-degree, you know, view before you have to turn your head and all that. You know, so you could say that means 30, which is 1/6, which is, you know, what is it, 16.5%, makes it work. You know, that he can see. So what about the other, you know? It means you have 360, so what about the other 330 degrees? So that 30 degrees you get the most, and then outside of that, you know, then there's going to be the 60 degrees, right? Then there's the 90 degrees, and then maximum is the 180. As you see in astronomy, you know, so when they're showing where the planets are, then you have the aspects, means what angle it works at. This, in this position, in this house, he sees 30 degrees. In this house, he sees 60. In this house, he sees 90. In this house, there's 180. And so therefore then you can do. You know, it's just like if you're in somebody's house that you're very comfortable and very relaxed, you only see 30. But if you're in an enemy's house, you see 180. You know? So it's just about relationships and about Krishna as a center. So, but it says each cowherd boy thinks Krishna is looking at him and interacting with him directly. It doesn't matter if he's the front row or the eighth row behind. You know, Krishna's interacting. So that's the beauty of it. That's the perfection of it. Is that Krishna, he's unlimited. He does that. You just have to worry about how he's interacting with you and the associates of his that you work with and under. It doesn't matter about the others. You know, unless it's directly part of the pastime, then it's you, your group, with this other personality. Or these members of their group. Does that make sense? If you're working with Subal, it doesn't matter what's happening with Sridham. Unless it's a pastime where Sridham, Subal are there. Then it matters to you. Does that make sense? Because you could say, oh no, but it all matters. It's unlimited. How are you going to work with it? Unlimited. There's no rasa. Yes.
That's the main reason that this problem doesn't arise. Earlier, the point of discussion that why, you know, people doesn't want you to know, because that nature of being distinct, profit and relation and distinction. So distinction means that why you want to be that distinction, because in material world everything is a competition. So if somebody else knows, that means he is superior than you. So that's why the safe side is I have worked the best of my capacity. Now I know I cannot work more than that. This is the limit to my capacity. So if anybody is coming near, then you pull him down.
Yes. What was that you mentioned about something they pulled down?
The crabs.
Some club crabs. Club. You were talking about crabs?
That was me.
That was you? Okay, about the crabs. Okay. Now it works. Because I knew it was extreme. Yeah. There or here, but the thing is that the dyslexia, it switches it around. So I saw it here on the page, the left page on the upper right portion, you know, the first paragraph. But then I look for, I can't find it. I find it eventually on the right page, down on the lower. It's very, very far out.
Yeah.
Like that. Because I was convinced it came from over here, but it wasn't. It came from this side.
I might have been sitting over there that day.
It might have been.
Wow, you
that's
here
right.
In my space?
You, wow, you guys wow, were
wow.
Gone.
So this is serious crime.
It was after breakfast. It wasn't during class time.
Oh,
it was
okay.
After breakfast.
And I
during class, during class, they sit in those places. There, we maintain the respect. You know, everybody sits in their place. You know, like that, and no one sits there on that rush.
You should get after prototype.
After breakfast, and they sit around and talk and.
Watch out! He's documented.
Yeah.
I should bring the thing reserved. Yeah. Whenever I'm not here, I just
you put your picture. You know?
Some velvet ropes.
Yeah. And then a picture of you sitting there. Yeah. Don't even think about
that. Just playing Jagadish.
The name has, you know.
Yeah, it's subtle meaning.
What do you call it? The prabhav, the influence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The uniqueness of that stuff. Yes, because it's not even just the uniqueness, it's the prabhava also. It's just that you want to have influence due to this uniqueness.
Yeah, but in the field of academics, the uniqueness is what is bringing influence.
Ah, okay. That you're unique, therefore there's influence. Okay.
It's muni, no? It's the muni.
Yeah. You don't, means no one else understands, but no one knows that you don't understand. So as long as you can bluff, then... because when you go into the peer review, they don't understand. And so as long as you can fend off their points, then you win.
Very sad life.
Yeah, no, very sad. But, and this is considered the elevated intellectual platform.
The biggest BS artists are the ones that everybody looks up to.
Yeah.
So they don't understand the BS.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the material world is very sad because the living entity by nature has qualities that they expect. Inherently, they function on. They can't not function. So therefore, the justice is one of them. Compassion is another. As Bhaktivinoda Thakura mentioned, six qualities. And then, you know, they have subdivisions and how they expand from there. But you expect everything will be just. You expect everyone will be compassionate. You expect these things. Yeah, principles. But it's not, because everyone's here for themselves. It's the center. So only when you connect to Krishna, then, now, you can work with people. You know, otherwise you have to create a center, because they themselves can't cooperate. But you create the center, then they can cooperate. You know, there's a common enemy, therefore now all these people who are normally enemies, now they can cooperate. There is no such thing as they cooperate on their own. There has to be a common point. Does that make sense? Like I've seen these descriptions where you have people who they literally are willing to kill each other. Like let's say you have gangs. They're fighting and killing each other. A new gang comes to town. Those three gangs will gang up together against that new gang to get rid of them and then go back to killing each other. Because they see is that this guy to all of our existence, therefore if we work together. But the thing is why I should work with you? You just want to kill. But if you don't work with me, he's going to kill you. But at least in this way, we all work together, we'll get rid of him. You still have a chance. Maybe you'll win, maybe I'll win. That's their logic. So it's you know, when they say dog eat dog, it's a pretty straightforward observation. So that's the material association. So that can be given up by coming in contact with devotional service to the Lord. So that will bring you, you know, to that platform, and that will bring you, as Bhanu Maharaj tries to say, to finally prema. So just by coming in association with devotional service to the devotees, you'll start the process. But then being established in unwilling goodness, that will bring you to prema. Right? You're not established by the association of devotees, that may bring you to goodness. By doing goodness, that may bring you, you know, higher. But the point is it's still going to be the devotees, the person's Bhagavat and the Lord Bhagavat. That association, that devotional service, that will then elevate you. Nothing else, absolutely nothing else.
It's
yes.
Very interesting. Again, it's positive scientific knowledge. This is Baba. This is how Prabhupada defines Baba.
Gaining scientific...
positive scientific...
yes, is Baba. Because then you're situated... it's positive scientific. Positive means that you come into the... you've gone from the... just means you have the Baba, because we mean theirs, because the Brahma Bhuta platform is the neutral point between Baba and material. So in other words, it's a situation, spiritual world, spiritual body, the soul spiritual. But they don't have attraction to Krishna, but they don't have attraction to Maya. But by association, they see Krishna, they're not attracted, but when they look across at Maya, they become attracted. They go to the material world. They look across to the associates and become attracted, then they start to develop that touch of Rati. That brings them into Bhava, because Bhava is also known as Rati. So that's the difference. The platform is the same, but the difference is does that make sense? You know, just like, let's say you have someone in the temple, they're there because they're attracted to the deity. Someone else is there because it's, you know, big, you know, high roof and nice and open, you know, generally temples are, you know, open, lots of jolly and that. So it's a cool place, it's nice, they're not making any trouble. They're not noticing the deities, they're also not noticing the, you know, the kids in the back making trouble. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is that it's in between. It's neutral. That's why it says the jiva is tatastha. That's the position that they're starting from. That's the platform they start from. Now it's a matter of, do they look this way or that way? They look this way and they're interested, they go. They look that way and they're interested, they go that way. So the inherent nature is, because they're part and parcel of Krishna, is to interact with Krishna based on those 50 qualities. That's the inherent position. Yeah? Yes?
I want to ask you about justice. You know that the jiva naturally expects justice, but can't find it in this world. And my son, when he has some problems, he usually asks me, why Krishna is not justice because he created Parashakti. The Parashakti can't fall down on material world, but we can fall and we suffer here. So he is not justice to us, he loves more his Parashakti, devotees who belong to this path. I told him that we should not expect justice in spiritual way, because everything is just for pleasure of Krishna. Was I wrong?
But yes, it means it's good. The point is that if you look at it, okay, the internal potency is spiritual, Krishna is spiritual, right? The internal potency is spiritual, the jiva is spiritual. The material world is also spiritual, it's also Brahman. It's called the material world for those jivas who think I can control and enjoy it. It's a material world for them. But for Krishna and his associates, it's also the spiritual world. It's just temporarily manifest. So therefore you have the Prakat pastimes.
Why we have this potency to reject Krishna and to be independent?
But why is it his fault? Why not ask him, well, why do you choose to reject? Because the point is, tatastha means you can choose to reject or choose to not reject. Why are you choosing to reject part? Why don't you choose the choosing Krishna part? That's in your hand, not in Krishna's hand. Because free will is part, is that what you're going to say? But free will is part of the thing. Krishna, he has free will, the living entities have free will, but very small. He's like really small.
Parashakti doesn't have free will
because they're already by nature in love with Krishna, so therefore, it means, do you have free will when you've already sold your heart to somebody? It means you could just tell them they're a rat bag and walk off, but you won't. Yeah.
In the sense, how the jiva thinks that if he doesn't have free will, then he'll be part of internal potency. Actually, he'll become part of external potency, which is unconscious. Because the consciousness means there is always a free will. Internal energy also has the free will, but naturally, because the prema is the aspect which supersedes one's own, one's own way of seeing things or doing things, because they understand and appreciate that, the greatness of the prema, then they are what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And we are what we are because we don't appreciate it. It's that glory of the prema bhakti, that's what makes the difference between the marginal and the internal potency. And that's why the jivas are called nityavada, as long as they are not understood and committed to it. As soon as they commit it, immediately it switched from nityavada to nityasiddha.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So then they'll be part of the internal potency, because Lord's internal potency, him, his energy and his paraphernalia.
Mm-hmm.
And jivas are part of his paraphernalia.
Because then you're looking at it, when you take up take shelter of the internal potency, then we're part of the chit, the samvit, like that. But if you look at it in the bigger, if you look at it from vibhav platform, then we're this internal, external, and jivas. If you look at it from the anubhav, then we're going to be part of the samvit. Means we're still, the jiva, we're part of that. If we get from prabhav, then we'll be part of the kriya aspect. We do things. So,
it's a deep-rooted philosophy of Buddhism, actually, that says that the problem is because of the consciousness. That's why I don't want to take the responsibility of me being conscious.
Yeah.
Of my conscious action.
Yeah, because it says they're not willing to take the thing. Krishna should do it. But then why you have to have Jesus? Then there'll be Krishna in the internal potency. He won't even be there. So then what benefit do you get? If you say, well, that doesn't matter. So much trouble. That's Buddhism. Because it says, I won't exist. What's the benefit? How will you know that you're happy from not existing if you don't exist? This is the Buddhist problem. This is Mayavadi's problem. They say, I will be happy. You won't exist. How will you be happy? So the point is, since he didn't create the whole thing, he shouldn't be blaming Krishna. He should be taking responsibility for his part in the process. It's him choosing Krishna. And that's what you've been trying to do for his whole life, is put him in the best situation in which he could come in contact with Krishna and get that positive scientific knowledge. Right? And so then, if he takes it, that's to his glory. And if he doesn't take it, that's to his blame or his misfortune. You can't blame others. Is that what
it is? Yeah, I personally, when people ask, because it's like, I mean, I don't know why, but everybody practically likes to discuss this. We just recently went to the retreat with Bhaktivedanta Maharaj.
Hmm. Okay.
And with his team of Shiksha Gurus, they just wanted to read something. So I had Jaiva Dharma. They said, okay, let's read Jaiva Dharma. And we didn't read it, actually. But the discussion was around that point, the jiva and this and, the whole thing. I don't know why it's so interesting, but whatever it is.
Because it's something that it's because, what do you call it? From where we started the conversation. If you don't understand it, you're confused about it, you think it's something superior.
Yeah.
And so they think it's superior knowledge because they cannot understand it. But you can understand that I do devotional service, I'll advance, I don't devotional service, I'm not. It's so understandable, that's ordinary. I want something I can't understand. So So we're conditioned by this foolish concept of knowledge and all that. So it doesn't matter. It's a point, as Hari Kesha Maharaj once mentioned. He says, it's a point you either understand it or you don't. There's no explaining it. You explain it, they understand it, that's fine. You explain it, they don't understand, they'll never understand it. If you explain the answer, then they'll understand it. And then, given more time in devotional service and your heart becomes purified, you understand. Because it's not that the more discussion, they'll understand it. They'll just get more confused, so therefore they think it's more important. Because it's more confusing, therefore I don't understand it. You know, life and death, you know, and involvement in ISKCON or involvement in devotion, it depends on this. It does not absolutely. Because they have no capacity. That's like saying that, you know, unless my 3-year-old understands quantum physics, then, you know, it's not important. You know, it only has value if like that, or it's because it's that, you know, he has to know. So, you know, this is a conspiracy. You're trying to keep my child in ignorance by, you know, putting him in nursery school. I will take him to the lectures at the university where the professor is speaking on, you know, the high levels of quantum physics. Then he will, you know, come to actually understand. But according to some theories, that's only until he starts to speak. Before he speaks, he knows everything. They have cosmic understanding. Once they start to speak, they lose it all, become an idiot. But then if that's the case, then if you learn language and you learn grammar and how to speak nicely, and you learn all these, then you should be even more stupid.
Your stupidity shines bright like the sun.
So, but like you're saying, this is the most stupid thing.
Yeah, yes. And the person saying this is the most stupid. Yes.
Yeah, so for me, you know, 16th chapter, Jiva Dharma, explains it all. And as you mentioned, the point never comes back. The Babaji explains it, and, you know, his students, they ask the exact same question, really, they go into a lot of details, and then it's over, and then that's it. He explains it, and so I tell people just not to waste my time. I say, are you, like, seriously interested? And, I mean, they have to say yes, because otherwise, what are you doing?
Or do you want to know? I would even say, do you actually want to know the answer so that you can apply it in your life and use it and you'll never have to ask the question again? Or this is just your go-to question by asking it, then, you know, an hour and a half gets lost and you get some taste out of it.
Yeah.
You know?
So I just tell them, read this 16th chapter, Jiva Dharma. It's all there. Yeah. More than that, I can't tell.
Yeah, and the fun part is that when they come the next day, after it's been explained, they'll say, now, you know, I thought I'd done, you know, all their senses, so now then they move on to the next thing. They never ask again. Mm-hmm. But it's like, let us say that there is a point of gossip, and someone brings up about that, and then you explain something about this point, some facts, some data, you know, in the context of gossip, you know, you solid information that then becomes knowledge that you can use for your own purposes, so it becomes wisdom. So you explain it once, and you don't even necessarily get into any detail, but just enough that it's true. How many nanoseconds does it take before the whole of ISKCON who's interested in this stuff knows? It means tens of thousands of people know. It's just one touch of the send button. And, you know, it's on everybody's, you know, wall and everything. It just goes around. It's like that. Do you ever have to mention that again? And fun part is the people you didn't say now are coming to you and telling you details that even you didn't know about, even though you were the one involved. And they weren't. Right? But, okay, and let us fast forward 20 years later. All the stuff that they talk is not real, but it's become the fact. And what you talked about is that, you know, so it doesn't matter. And it goes on and it self-perpetuates. But at the same time, if, let's say, 20 years ago, you explained this point very nicely, and that, and those same people, and talking to their people, that it should be, it's all over by that, philosophy. It would be everybody knows that, and it only has to be, like, you explain it once, and basically the whole rest of the movement, no one else has to explain it because it's been explained. But is it? No. Every leading devotee, they'll ask the same question, give the same answers, and the same way ignore it. So therefore, we have to understand that it's material association. It's not a spiritual question with spiritual desire for a spiritual result. It's purely material. It's just it's coming from the fear principle. It's fearing. I don't know, and if I don't know, then I'm unsecure, and if I'm unsecure, then of course I have to take shelter of myself, because I'm the only one who can save myself. Mm-hmm. And so therefore now...
I'm a victim.
Yeah, I'm a victim, I'm this and that, and so therefore it's all centers around me. Because if trying to control... See, before it was, you try to control the material energy, as a karmi, it doesn't work, you throw it out and become a jnani, and renounce it. Because they had character. Now you what do you call it? You try to control it, enjoy the material nature, it doesn't work. Then instead of throwing it out, you become a victim. This way you control it. They won't give it up. They won't take to the path of yoga.
But
that's yeah, isn't it? I mean, I just understood that when he mentioned that.
Yes, so it's some perverted mixture of karma and jnana.
Yeah.
You basically give it up, but not fully, because you still want to...
You give up the endeavor. I endeavored, I failed miserably. But I still want the results. I'll give up the endeavor, claim to be a victim, and now everybody else, it's their obligation to provide me with the facilities.
And I just have to be the victim, that's all.
Yeah, you just have to be the victim. And if after a while someone else becomes the victim, says, hey, you're stealing my thunder. You know, I'm the victim here. I mean, I saw this book, I think it was from the 80s, when the political correctness first started coming up. It wasn't like so widespread, but it was there in the intellectual circle. I saw this book, it was about the kids' stories. You know, the Little Red Riding Hood, you know, and the Big Bad Wolf, and, you know, and what is it, Hansel and Gretel, and the Gingerbread House, and the Evil Witch, and like this. But it was written, the story was written, but it was written from the angle of political correct.
Yeah.
I think it was called Politically Correct Bedtime Stories. And, you know, whatever didn't match that, they would change it and adjust it and all this and that. And so at one point, you know, Little Red Riding Hood, she goes, and then, you know, the whole thing, grandmother's been eaten, and this and that, and so many things. And then, comes in, the guy in the forest, the axe, the huntsman, he comes in with the axe and kills the big bad wolf, you know. And then it's an argument, you know, so I say, yeah, you know, this guy, he was, you know, oppressing me and this and that. He said, you're not the victim here, I'm the victim. And he was like, how are you the victim? You know, it's like in the big battle, it says, because when he says, and you're that, and he was pointing at Little Red Riding Hood, and you're the perpetrator. So she's the bad one in this. Like this. Because you came into the forest and picked these rare, endangered species of flowers for your own self-centered purpose of trying to get, you know, the attention from your grandmother.
Wow.
You know? And so therefore, I'm the victim. And so they would feel that you just goof on how they fight over who's the victim, who's more of a victim than the other. And, you know? Yeah.
He's
so.
Still doing that,
by the way.
I've seen.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's fun. It's fun. It's fun. And they don't like it if your cause for being a victim is better than their cause. And they take it as a personal offense that you don't appreciate my victimhood by trying to present that your victimhood is greater than my victimhood.
Because now they're a double victim because you're trying to steal their victim.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just like, yeah. So it's just like, hey, you know, it's like, you know, any way to stay the center, even though in modern media, everything, you know, within minutes can move on and nobody cares anymore.
Yeah. You know, in ancient Greece, it was a special art how to, by discussion, make others victim.
You make the others the victim, yes, instead of yourself.
Yes, yes. How to discuss such a way that to make all others the victims? It's how to blame all others and make yourself
self the victim. So it's an ancient Greek art,
yes,
a philosophy. Yeah. You know, but you can reverse it, because we said from Nyaya that you can reverse things. You know, use it in the positive or negative. You can reverse it by showing the people that you're talking to that they're the victim as long as the perpetrator is another person, and then if you vote for me, then I will get rid of that other person. So then it's also the very, very popular thing. Like that. But it's interesting. So that goes way back, you know, thousands of years. So.
No. I was reading one book on comparison of Yaya Sutras with the, it was modern research on comparison of Yaya Sutras with the ancient Greek philosophy. They told the Aristotle is a type of Vitanda.
The Greek philosophy is a type of Vitanda?
Some say that Aristotle and Greek philosophy.
Aristotle.
Aristika
is another guy.
No, Aristika is the science how to make yourself victim or others victim. That's what he said. That's the name.
It's called Aristika.
Aristika.
With an I or with an E?
That's questionable.
We don't know how to spell it.
It depends. Depends.
So that's the problem. In the language you speak in, it will have a specific letter. The language I speak in, it could be a variety of letters or combinations.
Because it's still Latin or Greek, so that's how they translate it.
Yeah,
it's probably different than English.
Yeah. No, I would say English is different from the Latin and Greek. I would, because they're based on that, so you can't say it's the other way around. Oh. You found it?
Aristic is Plato's demarcation. E-R-I-S-T-O-S is the same.
And it means how to make yourself the victim.
I don't know.
That's
funny. That word to err as human comes from. E-R.
That means to make yourself the victim is human.
It's A.
Aristica.
A.
So maybe it's two different thoughts. One's Aristica and one's Aristica. Now, is there an Oristica? Oristica?
See, when she said Eristica, I thought it was not.
Then there's Eristica.
Eristica, it's E.
E.
E-R-I-S-T-I-C. E-R-I-S-T-I-C. Eristic.
Heuristic.
The
philosophy and rhetoric. Heuristic refers to the argument that aims to successfully dispute another's argument rather than searching for truth.
Oh, okay, so that's the
Jalpa.
Jalpa.
Vitanda is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
oh,
both of them.
It could be either of them. It just matters whether you have a philosophy or not. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada.